WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio, is proud to present Q-Tips with Electrocution, legendary player for the Carolina Roller Girls. Send your question right now to electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. That's ELEKTRAQTION at carolinarollergirls.com. And now, get ready for Electrocution, only on WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Wednesday. You're on with Q's Tips. I'm Electrocution from the Carolina Roller Girls. You can reach me at electrocution@carolinarollergirls.com, or you can find me on Facebook under Renee Q McHugh, because Facebook stole my name and it doesn't look like they're still going to give it back, even though it's been like a year and a half. Tonight's guest is the Ish from the Carolina Roller Girls. Say hi, Ish.
Howdy.
And you want to tell people a little bit about yourself before we start?
Been with Carolina now going on almost 3 years. I play for the Carolina All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
They are an awesome bunch of ladies, and we're working really hard this season, so see what happens.
Yep, we're going to be going to ECDX next after we play Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's right, it's coming up.
Yep, we call this the reason for the season of travel.
Yeah.
This whole year.
Oh, man, all this last month, that's all we've been doing.
Yep, we've been to such stunning and wonderful tourist destinations as Michigan and Ohio.
Yep. Love the weather.
And the weather was horrible for both of those trips. We left 80 degree weather and sunny and went up to both of those trips with rain and storms and 60 degree weather.
Yep.
It
was so cold.
No offense to Michigan or Ohio. I know that you guys have lovely weather. It just was a terrible season to travel. Let's just put it that way for us.
How about y'all come visit us next
time? Yeah, next time, come down to the South. Yeah. Anyway, so you've been here and there and everywhere. You started with originally what skating group?
It was with Ring City Roller Girls, located out of Kinston, actually. Mm-hmm. A lovely, lovely group of people. They've actually had their 10-year anniversary.
They've
been around for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed, because that's really hard for a rec league.
Yes, it is.
So I can say they have gone through it all, from turnovers to, you know, splitting of a team, mm-hmm. to different coaches, different captains. But, you know, they have so much heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you love a sport, you make it happen, right? Yeah. No matter where you are and where you can do it. And they often have, like, little invitationals and skate invitationals. What was the next one? Is Game of Thrones?
No, the Masquerade Brawl's coming up.
It was Game of Thrones themed.
I think it's going to be. I'm not going to lie. I'm the worst. I couldn't get past, I think, the third episode because they killed the wolf. And I said, I'm not watching this ever again.
Yep.
So.
So, yeah, you'll have to come as a wolf then. How's that?
Oh, great. So I can die a death.
All right. So we have a lot of questions tonight. The first one is from Merle Pinkins. He's done some bumper music for me, and he's a really good musician.
Okay.
And he says, when will ESPN stop broadcasting poker, not a sport, nor entertaining, and start broadcasting more derby?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I know last year ESPN, I think it was the first time they covered our championships.
Yes, they did.
And so, you know, it was a lot of learning curves. They had to adjust with some of the names.
Yep.
But I think they were so impressed by the amount of people who were watching the turnout, because that was also the year that Rose beat Gotham.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure once, let's be real, to them it's a marketing thing. Once they see how much profit and how much people are actually interested in it, I do believe they'll start putting that on more than flip a card, any card, guess a card, and all in.
Well, and, you know, the Big O tournament was also on ESPN3, and I believe that Champs will be on ESPN3 this year as well. I think every once in a while, I don't watch ESPN. I mean, to tell you the truth, and this is a terrible thing, I'm sure, there are very few sports that capture my attention the way roller derby does. I just, you know, I fleetingly watch some of them. Like, I'll catch, you know, oh, they're doing the Kentucky Derby. I watch 2 minutes. They say it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sport. I'm like, they've never jammed.
No, two minutes can be something totally different when you're on that line.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't love watching it, but occasionally I'll stumble over and watch it, you know, see what's on there. And one time I saw it was competitive juggling, where they were knocking each other, like, I don't know what you call the things, out of their hands. Like, it was literally like almost full contact juggling, and I was like, why is this on?
Seriously, I feel like, we, no offense to them, I'm
no
sure they
offense.
Are very passionate,
and I'm sure they're very talented, because I wouldn't be able to juggle and throw stuff at people and hit their clubs out of their hands. Clubs
there, club. Was, there you go. I was gonna say, no, there's something.
Yeah, but you know, I feel that we belong on there just as much, if not more so.
Yeah, I feel like we're a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah. So, hopefully it'll be coming up soon. I mean, I don't know. We have such a young sport. You know, I know that it has roots in what it used to be, but the sport it is now is young. It's only, you know, for the last 10 to 14 years that people have really been doing this a lot, you know, and recognizing the sport as what it is now.
And it's, I mean, it's still just a very different breed because you do have your competitive derby and then you have, you know, a little bit more of the Ritz and Glam and more like bank track.
Right.
So it's interesting to try to describe people the difference between flat track derby and bank track because they're always like, oh, so you punch people and you kick them
over the rail and everything. So yeah, there's so many incarnations and now you have men's derbies getting a lot of recognition. And so people are worried about that happening.
Oh, juniors also coming up. Yeah,
juniors are coming up. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of people have their hopes pinned on the Olympics putting derby on, and that's going to legitimize
make derby. Yeah, real.
And I'm like, eh, you know.
We do have a World Cup already.
Yeah, so, I know. I mean, it's like, really, do we need the Olympics for that? But I understand why people get excited about it. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of, in the next 5 years, it's going to be very dramatic changes in our sport.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to stay tuned because I think it's just going to, it's been changing so much since I joined. And you joined around the same time, right? 2009?
Yeah.
And it's changed so much since then.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I can't imagine what in 5 years it's going to look like, especially when these juniors start really hitting the market.
They have some wild cards. I will tell you, I've got to watch a few of them and they are fearless.
If they stick with the sport.
True.
That's the problem. And I know everybody, another group of people have their hopes and fears pinned on the juniors, but, I mean, you get them that they're 18, they're like, woohoo, there's a whole lot of stuff out here I can do now, not just necessarily play derby all the time. So,
that's true.
You know, hopefully, though, some of them will stick around. All right, next question. Christy Davis.
Ah, Christy Creamer.
Yep. What made you become the Ish? And when and where did that name evolve?
Okay, so for the few people that, you know, have kept up with my long list of names, started off with Bruisey McTagger, and then it evolved to DJ Scribbles.
I remember the DJ Scribbles.
Yeah, everybody seems to remember DJ Scribbles, and then the Ish came about. And so this is a little bit of a personal note, but I decided to go ahead and just, you know, throw some history out there. My name was given to me by my ex-wife and current teammate, Grim Carey, because she did not like my name. My nickname, my family nickname is Toy, which a lot of people know me of, but it does a lot get used out of a really gnarly, crappy context. I get a lot of crappy jokes about it and a lot of sexual innuendos. Don't get me wrong, I'm all about dirty jokes, but it gets old. So my real name is Ishtore Forbes, so look me up on Facebook and... you know, I mean, it's a friend, but, you know, Ish, short, means shit.
Right.
That's, you know, the Urban Dictionary. So, the shit. Because I am a little cocky. I can admit that. I have cocky moments. But if you hand me my ass, I'll respect you.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So, that is how the Ish became evolved.
It was just funny because I think Ishtore is a beautiful name, by the way. That's a really cool name.
Like, yeah, and then people find out what it is and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, yeah, coming up, I think it's cool if you have a name that you feel comfortable skating under. And it fits you the best. You know, I know people that try to make names fit them, and it never works.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's why Beth Rowe, one of my, you know, closest derby friends, she went under Beth Rowe. Her name is Beth. And she's like, I'm not going to answer to anything else. So I need to come up with something that works with Beth. She's like, Beth Rowe. Got it.
It's perfect for her.
Yeah.
And I honestly think the Ish is going to stick with me till I retire.
Yep. That's good, you know? And have you ever thought about just skating under Ishtore Forbes?
You know, I've thought about it because there's really nobody else that I know of that has that name.
Yeah.
But it's just Ish is so much easier, and that's what everybody calls me as it is. Ishtore is, it's hard to yell out on the track, and Forbes, that's too much of a military reminder. So, I don't know, I just kind of dig Ish.
That's cool. All right, another question from Christy. Tell us your derby story. How did it save your soul, and where do you see yourself in the next 2 to 5 years?
Oh, God.
And you know, I hate the phrase, save my soul. I hate that because I feel like your soul was already saved. Derby made your life better or more interesting, but you didn't save your soul. But okay.
Yeah, there's no helping my soul. It's black. So it's funny. I was actually taken to a date to watch my very first roller derby game. And it
Which one was it? Was it
It was those Carolina Roller Girls.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was when the debutante brawlers were still around. God, yeah. I love you guys.
I loved being a debutante brawler. That was one of my favorite home teams ever.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen you and JoJo and Beth. And I could go and name on and on and on. And I instantly fell in love and was like, I want to do this.
Right.
I want to do this so bad because I had just gotten out of the military. I was looking for something to do. Soccer was not interesting. I was tired of always going on runs.
I don't want to run stuff. I hate running.
And so I found out there's a local team. And that was the Drink City Roller Girls. And I go out there and they let me borrow skates. And amazingly enough, I picked up skating quickly, but stopping, no sorry, Bob.
You picked up the going.
I got going really fast, and that was the problem. I could not stop. I mean, you see me now, what happens if I sometimes go a little too fast.
Yeah.
So, whoop, there goes Ish.
Yep.
Got the speed, not the stopping. But pretty much what happened is I have PTSD. And I was having a hard time functioning as a civilian. I was having a hard time finding my place. And the next thing you know, I find this ragtag of people who are different. They're not your snobs. They're not elitist. They like to drink beer and have fun and wear fishnets. Now, remind you, this is a rec league.
And this was still 2009.
I was still young, so there were still tutus and fishnets.
Oh, heck, I still rocked a tutu.
Oh, I know. And your leg warmers.
Yep, I still have those. They're in reserve from my last game.
Oh, snap. Yep. I better not see them anytime soon. we got to make it in D2s.
Yep.
But, and I made so many friends that I wasn't judged. And also being gay, that's very hard to do now. And I will say something about, you know, being queer in the derby community. It's so natural. You're not looked upon or sneered at. You're just looked at as a teammate or a friend or a family member.
I think it's celebrated in the derby community. You have the Vagine Regime.
Oh, God, yes.
And, and who doesn't like, admire when you go to RollerCon and watch the Vagine Regime versus the cocksuckers? It's one of the funniest and it's roughest bouts I've ever watched in my life. Like, every year it gets even more fierce and competitive, and I'm just like, whoa, you know.
It's constant struggle between that vagina and that dick.
Yep. But it's really funny. I think you're right, though. I think being a queer skater is celebrated. I mean, it's not pushed under the carpet or, you know, you don't have to explain it away or excuse it. It's just a thing. It's like, whatever.
And it's refreshing. I still remember when I joined CRG that, you know, I was nervous still because a lot of places still weren't friendly about being queer. And you guys were just like, hey, put on skates. Let's go. And I was like, yes! To this day, excitement when you skated over. I was sitting on a wall.
I know.
I would come to their Sunday morning practice and just sit on a wall and watch them and watch them. And finally one day, it's like, Q comes over. She's like, you got your skates? I was like, yeah. She's like, go get them. And I mean, happiest day of my life. I cried when I got to come home because I was just like, my dream come true to skate with the Carolina Roller Girls, and they weren't beating my ass at the time. You know, came true.
But I mean, I think that's a lot of things. When people do say that, you know, derby saved my soul, it's they found a place to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think that it's one of those places that's very unique. You know, I just said very in front of unique, which I know Mr. Q hates. Sorry, buddy. But it's true. It's a unique situation where, you know, you are accepted for what you are. And right now, North Carolina is dealing with a lot of bullshit against the trans and the LGBT community, and we are fighting it in our own way with Carolina Roller Girls. So we're going to urge, and if anyone hears me now, please, if you want to, our league took a picture of ourselves in the bathroom saying, we will go with you for our transgender friends. If you want to do the same thing, please do it and send it to the Carolina Roller Girls or send it to me, and we'll post it on our page because it's something we believe in as a league. And so we're trying to do something. We can't be uber-duber political because we are, you know, 501c3. But we need to, you know, take a stand, and this is our way of doing it. So I challenge any teams out there to do the same.
Yeah, and I personally say not, you know, affiliated with CRG, but if I'm ever around at a game or something and you recognize me and you don't feel safe, just don't be afraid to come up. I will gladly escort you wherever you need to go.
Exactly. So, you know, that's something that's very important to our team and to us important. All right, next question. Doug Eddy, how important is the halftime show and how much money or effort does it deserve? That's a hard one.
Oh, I mean,
I've seen amazing halftime shows.
Yeah.
Okay, so like Blue Ridge a couple years ago, probably even longer than that. It's probably 2011. They used to have, I don't know what the group is called, but it's Dragon Slayer is part of it, and it's a fire troupe. Oh. And they have the whips on fire, and they skate around, and they do all this stuff like at the halftime. It was amazing.
I would love
like
that.
They set like wireframe on fire, and they were like doing all these tricks, and these girls had these whips, and they were like, whoosh, and the fire would flare out everywhere. It was a fantastic show, and I was very jealous that our league doesn't do stuff like that.
Maybe once we get a little bit more defined in our new space, and right. we find out what we're allowed to get away with.
I don't think they're going to allow fire in the convention center.
No, I mean, think about it. If they offer like little like circuses and stuff to come through there, they might.
I mean, this was pretty impressive. We've also had there's some sort of like volunteer band that and they're all from Durham, and they march. It's a marching band, but anyone can join as long as they come to the practices of any age. And they came out and they rocked Dorton Arena during our halftime. It was amazing. Like everybody in the crowd was just up. It was hype. Yeah, it was amazing. So when you have a good halftime show like that, it's just like, oh, so brilliant. You're just excited about it. But, man, they're hard to plan.
It is. But at the same time, I feel like you kind of need that because that keeps the crowd coming back, not only to watch us play, right. but then they're also like, what's going to happen at a halftime show?
Right.
It's like the Super Bowl. You might not be interested exactly in the sport, but that halftime show.
Yeah, that's true. The halftime show, I do tune in for that because, you know, it's like, well, better be interesting.
Yeah.
So I think it's important. I think, though, modern roller derby has made it less important. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with the after party.
Yeah.
The after parties have become less important because people are traveling on a budget. People are like, oh, God, this isn't the only game we have. Maybe we have a hangover bout the next day. We can't go out. You know, all of those things happen. And it becomes kind of like, oh, do I have to go to this? You know? And if you're the home league, we're there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're done at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
By that time, I'm like, I'm done with people. And it's not because I'm offended or pissed off at anybody that we played. It's just, like, all people in general.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Lately, I haven't been. Like, unless we're out of town, I'll go, you know, to support the other league, say thank you for doing that mm-hmm. for us. But if it's one of ours, as soon as we're done breaking down the track.
Well, you've been there for 12 hours.
I'm ready to go home.
So it's the same thing. I feel like they're very equal. They mm-hmm. both probably need to be tweaked for modern roller derby, but, you know, each league has to figure out their own.
Yeah.
One of the best halftime shows I ever saw that was small, but it was really good, was when Team Wet Black did their halftime show at Blue Ridge. And they did an entire Jedi fight. And they're on this station, so if you ever get to listen to the after party, they're on Mondays.
Oh, wow.
Or Sundays, I think. But they really enjoyed doing their little... They had, like, special effects
what?
And everything. They had, like, force pushes and all this other stuff. They were amazing. And Gotham watched them, and they were like, man, this is awesome.
Okay, so, we need to invite them to a...
Heck yes, absolutely. All right, next question. Chrissy Davis. Derby in a small league like RCR versus CRG, what do you see now that you wish you had known then?
I wish I had seen the competitiveness, mm-hmm. and I think that was that drive. I mean, CRG, I love it because it's like a family. We all played around, we all goofed off, we practiced hard, but we never really had that competitive. If we won a game, we were excited. We didn't win too often, but we were excited.
Mm-hmm.
But when we lost, we just were like, oh, well, next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Which is healthy.
Yeah.
That's healthy.
It's a good mentality.
Yes.
It keeps you from going crazy.
Yes.
But that competitiveness that I wanted, that drive that I wanted mm-hmm. to win, that I wanted to improve, I know I couldn't do that with, you know, my original league. I had to step up. And that's something that CRG has done. And even when I started off the Bootleggers, and I mean, we had an impressive...
Yes.
I think we were 9-0. It was amazing. And then after that, I was like, I want this more.
Yep.
And so that's when I started trying out for the All-Stars.
Well, and that's the thing, especially because I came up through the Bootleggers mm-hmm. as a skater. And when I first joined it, people were sort of like, it's the boots. We do what we want. We have fun. You know? And I was like, I want to kill somebody. You know, like, I want to rip somebody's face off and eat it. I was very competitive, and so it used to really get, like, it was a love-hate. I love my Bootleggers. I think they're amazing. But then it would be hateful because I'd be like, but they don't care! They don't care! They don't want to come to practice! What the hell? What's wrong with them? You know? And so that used to bother me a lot. And we were also playing teams like Quad Squad. Oh, they're
right.
All-Star team. Or Blue Ridge's All-Star team. Like, that's what the Boots played, you know? They played Cape Fear. They would play, you know... River City.
Oh, God, I miss You know, River City.
I mean, we would play all these teams that were, like, up-and-coming all-star ranked WFTDA teams, and they would get their start with us in the WFTDA, and they would play us, mm-hmm. and we would just get our, you know, faces pushed in, and I'd be like, I don't want to get my face pushed in this badly, you know?
But it made you want to learn.
Oh,
you,
my
like, get
God,
better.
Yes, and it made me hungry to get... even more, you know, I was even more rabidly competitive than what? I am now, if you believe it.
I would have to see this.
And, yeah, I mean, and it, I think that's the thing that some people come into roller derby and they don't want that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I say there's a place for everyone in roller derby, but when you're on a team with someone like me and I'm pushing the team to be that way and the team starts being that way, you know, you got to make those decisions. What's the majority of the team want? Do they want to be competitive or do they want to be kind of rec mm-hmm. league? And that's fine. You have to talk about it as a team, though. And every year we talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we want to do?
And this year we decided we want to go to D2s.
We're going in.
And so we're busting our asses.
Yep, we're trying our best, you know. So, I mean, I think that's important. And when you have a small league, you have to do what the majority wants, you know, because... Yeah. If they don't want to commit to being a more competitive league, you're not going to make them. You can't force someone to be competitive. They have to want it.
And, I mean, unfortunately, that was another reason why I had to, you know, branch out. Because sometimes, I mean, even to this day, you guys still hear me talk about Ring City and the things we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always have a spot in my heart. But when it comes to competitiveness, you have to make that leap of faith.
Right. And you do. I mean, it would just be like, let's say, you know, I was in the place that I could go and find an even more competitive league.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it, you know?
I'm not going to lie. One day, Angel City, man, I'm going for it.
That's right. But, I mean, you know, you look at those leagues and you're like, well, what are they doing that we could be doing? You know, so you look at... So if you can't go to that competitive league or you want to increase your league's competitiveness, you got to look at the leagues around you or at least where you want to be and say, what are they doing to be this good, you know? What changes can we make? Just small changes at first.
Little tweaks.
Yeah, to be a little better.
Because you can't make it can't just be a jump in.
You've got to do steps. You'll kill somebody.
You'll
lose half of your team.
Yes.
So there's no point in doing that. Yeah, exactly. So there's no point in doing that.
Mm.
All right, next question. This is from Jeremy Johnson. Hi, Jeremy. Hope your puppy's good.
Aw.
All right. Let's talk about how much of a name Collision made for ourselves. This is a little, I guess, a modest brag or a humble brag. All right. Collision made for ourselves this weekend at BOBH along with Dex Six Wheel Jam.
Oh, God. I just saw the pictures of that, too. I'm not going to lie. If it had been me, I would have called it off. But to see the fact that, you know, he still went through it, used those edges. Once again, let me say those words again. Edges.
Yeah.
To where he could just use those two fronts and still get those 6 points. Man.
So, for those of you that don't know, Black and Wild, one of the Collision jammers at the time, lost his back trucks on his left skate.
Yep.
And he was jamming. And I don't know whether he was lead or not. I don't know. You can't tell from the pictures that they posted. I didn't get to see this particular game.
Mm-hmm.
But his back wheels were gone on one skate, and he skated on 6 wheels and scored points as a jammer. He just got up and skated through the pack. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And he should get a shout-out for that. And possibly a Derby gear sponsorship, because you shouldn't lose your damn trucks like that. Just shouldn't happen.
So, if any sponsors are out there listening, great skater. He could definitely use some new plates and some new gear.
Yes, and he's an amazing skater. He and his brother, Sweet Meat and Black and Wild, look them up in Collision. They both could use it, and they're both exceptional skaters. Like, I'm really surprised they're not on the Team USA men's team.
If they tried out, I feel like they could.
Yeah, they are just that good. So... Really, if you get a chance, look them up if you're looking to sponsor a men's team or a men's skater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Collision did a great job. They won one of their games out of four. Mm-hmm. That was their first big tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right, it was.
For the men, and they had 4 games, and I know what it's like to play 4 games in 2 days.
Oof.
And I don't think they were ready to play 4 games in 2 days, because you kind of have to train for that, like, a little more than they were doing. But I think now they know, and they're going to be going to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Next, like in 2 weeks, I think. So they're going to be doing that. So maybe they'll be a little more ready for that one.
Well, now they know what to prepare for.
Exactly.
I mean, last year, Beach Brawl, that was my first tournament.
It's hard.
It, you know, I thought I was ready. I had trained.
Nope.
And you guys were like, it's going to be okay. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. This year, a little different. I'm a little bit more prepared. I also, you know, realize that I need to hydrate and actually eat food, not to forget to eat food.
Yes.
And I bring my magical stuff called crack juice.
Yes.
Which every time Q watches me shake up my bottle of pre-workout, she just, you know, already knows that I'm about to do well.
But that's the truth. I mean, I think it's not just, oh, have you trained as a skater? You have to drink a ton of water. You have to learn to sleep in weird places, get as much sleep as you can. You need to eat as much as possible. You know, these are things that you need to know when to rest your body. You need to know when to say, I'm turning this off and I'm just going to go have some chill time. Okay. Because four games is a lot. I mean, you're asking your body to
three games I thought was intense.
Four is a lot.
I don't know if I could do four.
Well, we're going to be, if we get to D2s, we might do four. So that's where I've done it before.
Yeah, I have crack juice.
Yep. So, I mean, it's something that you have to mentally and physically get ready for. But I think Collision will now be ranked now that they've you know, played this many games. So I'm really excited for them.
Me too. And they are hard working.
They are hard working. All right, next question is also from Jeremy Johnson. Thoughts of Battle of the Bunker Hill and what tournaments like that do for getting local teams' names out there in the derby world? Mm-hmm. Well, anytime a tournament is broadcast, your name gets out there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's super amazing. Like, if you can get to a tournament where they're having broadcast, you know, whether it's on WFTDA TV or, you know, the tournament itself is broadcasting, like Battle of the All-Stars broadcasted, and it's, you can go and see it on YouTube. You know, anytime you see any of those things, your team's name gets out there, and that's important, I think.
And it helps to share. If you have links to that, let all your friends know. Be like, hey, check us out, because somebody else could be like, repost this, and somebody else repost that. And, I mean, I can't say that enough. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was really well known in, like, the smaller communities and the smaller teams, but now we travel places and people know me, and I'm like, how do you know me? And they're like, such and such shared about you, or, you know, I know you through this person, or I've read about you on this, and it's amazing. So yeah, social media is a great thing. If you want to get out there, use it to your advantage.
Well, and it's important in the roller derby community, because that's how you set up games.
Yep.
Or that's how you get invited place. Exactly. You need to network. So if you can get out there and network for your team, you know, and it's not about the personal glory of it. It's the team. Hey, my team, we need to, you know, we would like to come up and play you guys. Well, now they know what you are. They know that you're not just a joke or a fly-by-night or,
You know. One-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder, exactly. So you show up and you show what you can do, and then they're like, hey, we want to play you guys. You know, we think this would be a good challenge for us. Or, you guys seem like nice guys or nice girls. You know, let's play you.
Yeah, I mean, we've played guys, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Girls. Yep, but I mean, it's important to network, and I think this is a good way to do it at tournaments, because you get to meet people.
Oh, yeah.
And you also get to talk to other people on different, you know, you're all there together, it's all very intense, and you can sometimes, you can sit down next to somebody on another team and have a nice conversation with them, and you realize that, oh, they're going through the same bullcrap that you're going through in your league.
Yeah, also, sometimes you don't know who you're sitting next to. Did I tell you that I was sitting next to, bisexual from Victoria during champs. I feel so bad because I didn't recognize her because she was wearing a huge coat and everything out. And then
she didn't have her helmet on.
And and I didn't realize we all look so different in normal clothes.
Yes, we really do. You know, I made a thing for one of my blogs, and it was a cutout of a derby helmet, so you could go up to people and like put it on them and go, "Oh, I know who you are." Yep.
Yeah. I felt like the biggest schmuck afterwards. I wish I'd asked for her autograph because, oh my god, what I watched her do during champs, I derby crushed so hard.
Well, I mean, but it's good to be, sometimes it's just good to be just hanging out, you know, and seeing that person.
Oh yeah, super chill, super nice.
All right, next question. Why are there no big Southeast tournaments out there every year? That's what Jeremy Johnson asks. Well, the Southeast is a really funny place for roller derby, I will tell you that. I think we're one of the first people on the map for roller derby because our founder, Fate, went to Texas, watched what they were doing, and brought it back here in North Carolina, and we were one of the first. We're one of the original 30 leagues in the WFTDA. And even then, we're still very isolationalist. I think that's a word.
If not, it should be.
It should be. But we're very, like, isolated in the Southeast. It's getting better.
slowly but surely, there's more teams.
But. I mean, I think South Carolina is a really good example of this. South Carolina evolved their own brand of derby all by themselves. Like, it was weird. Like, they all just popped up and played this very, like, rough, wild roller derby long time.
Yeah, there were... Oh, God, I can still remember some of the games we played against them with Ring City.
Yeah.
And there are pictures of me. I am off my skates. Yeah, at least a good really, 2 feet in the air from a hit.
It's unlike any other derby around them, which I think is interesting because they've kind of, like, they all played each other, you know, and that's how they developed this roller derby for themselves. And Carolina... You know, North Carolina has developed, like, we have Cape Fear close to us, and we have Greensboro close to us that broke off from us because one of the girls moved to Greensboro and she wanted to start a derby league.
Oh, I had no idea.
You know, yeah, so Greensboro was started by a former Carolina roller girl. Also Blue Ridge was started by a former Carolina roller girl. I don't know about Cape Fear. That one might have come up naturally by itself. But it's really funny because, like, Carolina started a lot of these leagues, but then that's as far as we went.
Yeah, it didn't branch after that one. Just kind of sat and stewed.
Yeah, and so it's really... we are very much kind of in this weird isolated bubble, you know, with people around us that are like us, and that's it. So I know that, you know... Quad Squad's done a couple tournaments, but they're not just Southern.
Yeah, no.
You know, Southeastern roller derby. They're to bring other people down, and I think it'd be really cool to have a Southern Eastern
derby
conference. It would be neat, but I'm not doing it because it's a lot of pain in the ass work. So I'm not gonna lie. We've put on regionals before. They were D2s and stuff. It was 2009, and it was a lot of work.
Wasn't that Wicked Wheels of the East?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was the best sticker I've ever seen.
Yep. It was a really cool poster and everything, but man, I gotta tell you, that was the longest 3 days of my life in roller derby, and I never want to do it again. So if someone else wants to step up and do it, that'd be awesome. All right. And then Jeremy Johnson's final question is, when will Murda update their rankings? I have no idea. I'm gonna guess it's going to be after everybody comes back from Denver.
It probably is, just because it's kind of like WFTA where it's...
Well, we
it's
do it every month in WFTA, but I don't know...
Isn't Denver next month for them?
Yeah, the Denver's in June, but I'm saying I don't know when they... I don't know if Murda updates their rankings on a monthly basis or not. I mean, I don't check because I don't, you know...
Yeah.
We're not Murda.
Dear Murda, update your stuff so your fans will love you more.
Right, and update your website. There you go. All right, next question. This is from Kristen Holcomb. What are the next big changes in derby? Are we going to see the beta rules test of the WFTDA put into place? What are the new strategies and wall forms?
Okay, well, I mean, I know we've been playing around with some new wall forms that have actually worked really well for us. I can't go into super detail because we are going to be using them in upcoming games.
Yep.
But what I can say is the flat whirl is still super effective. It's great for slowing down jammers. But there are better formations out there that are soul-crushing to jammers. I can say this personally. I can say this because before, I could move one of our strongest walls pretty good up to that, you know, 20 feet, no pack. Now, I just kind of sit there and I cuss at them and I curse whatever spawn they're going to have in the future. And I just kind of, like, fall off of them. I'm sure every jammer knows this feeling, is where you slide down the sweaty back of a jammer and your face is now in their butt.
Yep.
I hate them.
Well, and I mean, so you've got Victoria's scary little...
Oh my god, the thing of death.
They're you know, their geometry of anguish, as I like to put it. And then you have you have Tampa's Hypercube, you know, and then you have three wall brace, which a lot of teams do. Probably the majority of teams do that three wall brace.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bay Area still does a flat wall, and they're just horrible to get around because just stand there. You know?
They are so strong.
Yeah, like, they just stand there. I mean, they're really amazing. It's very difficult to get around them. Do I see new changes? Sure. I mean, it depends what I don't know the beta rules. We were not a part of that test because I didn't want to teach our girls anything new.
We're still getting the normal.
Right. We've done beta testing before, and it can get really confusing for some people, especially if they're just coming into the sport.
Yeah.
So we tried not to do that this time around. I think they're going over it now, and they'll make an announcement about it for next year, but it won't affect this year.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. I doubt it. I mean, that would be really hard to pull out right now. But I don't know.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Are the new strategies, new wall forms? I think the newest strategy that you're seeing nowadays is offense is a part of the game again, is really nice, you know.
Yes.
For a long time, it wasn't, and it turned into stroller derby, which I'm sure people have heard that term before, but really nothing was moving on the track. It was very boring.
Yeah.
You know, you have one jammer against a flat wall just beating the crap out of herself and the flat wall just standing there. And then you had another jammer with a flat wall beating the crap out of herself and, the wall just standing there. It was really tough to watch.
And this is where that three wall in the brace comes in. Because once you can get strong enough to drop it down to a two wall and a brace, that third person can run up and help. And mm-hmm. I can't tell you how often I am thanking whatever derby gods and goddesses that are up there when I see my offense.
Yes.
And patience. As a jammer, I can't stress this enough. They will come to save you. You might only get one shot to escape your hell on the track. Take it. Run. Do not hesitate. But they will come for you. At least my girls do.
Yes.
If I can't get out, I instantly start looking up and making eye contact. Mm-hmm. That is the best thing that you can do. And, offense, be patient with your jammer. Just be patient. We're squirrels. We have issues.
Well, and I mean, I think that jammers feel an enormous amount of pressure to get out cleanly, to make the big play.
To not make mistakes.
You know, I'm sure as many of your coaches have said, don't say don't fuck up. Because first thing you're going to do is fuck up. Anytime you say don't do something, you're going to do it like, don't cut the track. Whoops. Boop, cut the track. So I think that's something that's really important. I think that jammers have to know that they're not the only person with that pressure on them. The blockers are feeling the same pressure.
Oh, yeah.
They're standing closer to people that are on the same team, and that makes it a little easier. But we're still feeling that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we want our jammers out, and we want to stop the other jammer just as much as you guys want to be out. So, don't put that pressure on yourselves. And I think you're going to see a lot more teams doing a lot more really strong offense, not just a little here and there.
Make a hole.
Yep, like the offense is strong, and we're working on it too, because Carolina by nature and by history has been a very defensive team. And that's really what we've been for this whole time. So the last 2 years we've been slowly trying to train ourselves to use more offense and deal with offense when you had to deal, when it comes back for you.
And I'm not going to lie, it does sometimes help that if you have certain people that play offense for you regularly,
mm-hmm.
because you don't get tangled up with them. And unfortunately, there are just some people, and jammers, blockers, don't take it personally. There are just some people you will constantly get tangled up with no matter what you do.
Well, a really good, description of this is punch. I love punch. I cannot do offense for punch.
No, you guys get them long legs.
No, I mean, but I don't know where she's going. Hmm. She's doing her own thing. Lots of times she's not necessarily looking at me to do offense, so it's like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
For her, she's so random on the track, I can't tell you where she's going, which is good. I mean, that means that they're having a hard time with it too, but I honestly am like, you're on your own. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, and then there's me who gives you like the big Bambi eyes. Yep. It's like, please save me.
Big puppy dog eyes, definitely. All right, next question. This is advice for small leagues and trainings and motivation or anything in general. You could go back to talk to Ish then of what Ish knows now.
What I've learned from then and to now is growth doesn't come overnight.
Oh, there you go. That's very deep.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this deepness. All of a sudden we hit the depth gauge on that one.
Well, I mean, everybody knows I'm all about giggling, goofing off. They constantly get onto me at practice. I'm dancing. I love the sport. But I've had to learn, and it's taken me 3 years with CRG to start getting on a main rotation, to start seeing my growth within this league, because we have so many amazing players. You can't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. You've got to take it one practice at a time. And I know it's hard. And sometimes I have to remind my own self that it takes time. Mm-hmm. And it pays off. Like one day, at the very beginning of this year, or no, it was last year, you invited me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, God, I hate plow stops. God, I hate plow stops. No matter what happened, we could not figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've started plow stopping. They're starting to put me into walls for blocking. Mm-hmm. I'm not being like railroaded. I'm actually more stable backward mm-hmm. skating. And, these were all things that 3 years, it seems daunting almost. But when you do it and then you realize you're doing it naturally, you're not having to sit here and be like counting out your steps.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most amazing and gratifying feeling ever, and I'm not gonna lie, I had a girl moment at 10. Like, you know, I felt like I was 10. I rushed home from practice. I opened up my diary. Yes, I keep a diary. If you ever take it, I will murder you. And I wrote in it. I mean, I plowed stop really big words and a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And I cheered up a little bit because this was something I constantly put my own self around mm-hmm. and down. And Q, actually, you helped me learn how to do this. That one day, you were like, wait a second, how am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And we broke it down. We took it down from like even 80%. We dropped it down to a 15%
mm-hmm.
slow move. Whenever our team would do this, she'd pull me to the side. She would work with me. And I didn't feel like... I didn't feel like the special child of our team because I had to take things slower. Oh, God, I hope
not. Everybody, look, and that's something, if I could talk to Q from long, long ago, is that mm-hmm. there is something that everyone sucks at, and it doesn't matter what it is. Like, it could be you with the plow stops or, you know, me with my Mohawks. I always bring that up because I'm like, I'm a really good transitional skater at this point. Like, I can transition any way I want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, 2009, I barely passed minimums because I couldn't do a right Mohawk to save my life.
Really? Save that's how my you catch life. The shit out of
yes,
me now.
I know. But, I mean, it's something I've worked on for a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the inside line. You know, people are like, how'd you get good at the inside line? Well, 3 years of that will do it, you know? It just yeah. it just takes persistence. You have to be persistent in it. But yes, you are going to suck at things, and that's okay.
Right, and it's being able to tell yourself that, because I can tell you right now, your worst enemy is going to be yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry I got deep on y'all. I know you guys were expecting me to all be, like, fun and games, but that is like that was, like, a dear moment to my heart.
Yeah.
So that, I had to get that adult moment out of the way.
And it's hard. I mean, and I don't know how you tell someone to not be impatient for that, because sometimes people go faster than you, like yeah. they proceed faster, like, oh, they're so look how awesome this person is.
Oh God, look at our fresh meet. Almost every single one of our fresh meet have a beautiful plow. Like, they make the noise, they yeah. come to a stop, and I can just, like, you can feel me wanting to side eye, like, so bad. I was like, you. I just want to trip you.
Yep.
But
well, I mean, I was doing the we were doing the tryouts, and I, you know, because I'm an assessor,
mm-hmm.
I was watching this, and I was like, I wouldn't have been able to do this as my tryout. My tryout was like, can you skate? Can you stay upright on
yep.
your skates?
Yep.
Then you in, you know? And these girls are like, oh,
can
my
you
God.
Get up and, can you get up in under, like, yeah. what, 3, 4
can you
seconds?
Do this, that, and the other thing. I mean, the thing that really clinched it for me was I was really fast. So they were like, we're taking you. But I couldn't stop, and I couldn't Mohawk. I couldn't do anything. And I was just thinking to myself, gosh, these girls, you know, they're doing so much already. They're going to be so much further along than I was, you know? And that's great.
It's hard to almost give them, like, advice. Like, I almost, like, want to just be like, you're doing well. No, just go away.
Just keep doing it.
Just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll bypass me in, like, 2 more months and have my spot.
But, I mean, you know, there are people that worry about that kind of thing, but I'm like, you don't understand how much experience on the track counts.
Oh, thank God. I have something.
It really does. I mean, I know you could be a perfect technical skater, but if you don't understand roller derby or have had the experience of, you know, really comprehending what's going on the track, you're not a derby player. You're a really good skater. There's right. a difference. I mean, I've seen really amazing skaters bomb out of roller derby because they don't understand the game.
Yeah. Once you get the mindset of the rules and mm-hmm. just how it flows, I feel like you're right, though, experience on that one. Yeah.
It really is experience. All right, next question. How do you pump yourself up when the little voice in your head is telling you that you can't do this? Feeling bad for how far I am behind the fresh meat pool as far as my skills. Had the moment yesterday when I wondered if I should give it up, even though I really want to not give up. I want to be good at this so bad, and something in me is holding me back.
Wow, so you and I are having a very similar time right now. Actually, just a couple weeks ago, I was contemplating go ahead and retiring
mm-hmm.
just because everything hit me at one time, a bunch of, you know, derby bullshit and mm-hmm. real life bullshit all mm-hmm. at once. Pardon my French, but shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this tick before a game, and Q can say it, line one, line two, my whole team knows. I start shaking
mm-hmm.
and my leg will start jumping really, really bad. And like, it's helped because they realize this and they know how to handle me now. Mm-hmm. They know just to, like, give me a little talk, tell me that they're there for me, and remind me that no matter what, I'm going to be safe on that track. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my job, and they're going to be there for me. So even if I don't get out and I don't get league, they've given me that amount of pressure off of my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, having a bomb-ass playlist to listen to music to and just kind of drown out everything. Well, I've
noticed you've been doing that recently. That's a recent thing for you.
Yeah, it's helped a lot. Mm-hmm. Music to me, like, I'll just kind of go skate on my own right before we warm up as a team. Mm-hmm. I just do a couple little, like, laps. I play around. I dance on my skates. And I really just breathe. I take really nice, deep breaths, and I'm like, telling myself, no matter what happens, no matter if I play, if I don't play, if I do good, if I don't do good, leave it all on the track.
Well, and here's the thing. You cannot compare yourself to someone else.
Yeah, no, I learned
Comparison is the thief of joy. It really is. If nothing else, everyone should get a shirt that says that, because I'm telling you, I came in with my fresh meat, and I was probably like not the last person they thought that would succeed, but I certainly was not the first person they thought would succeed. Yeah. So you've got to look at that and look at who's still around me, you know. Yeah. And I'm succeeding. It's because you have to go at your pace that you can do. I mean, sometimes you're going to be the one that everybody's envious of, and sometimes you're going to be the one that you're envious of the other people, and you can't be that way. You've got to just be like, I'm doing this. Look at me now. Mm-hmm. From when I was a month ago.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, once again, you're going to be your own worst enemy. But I will mm-hmm. say the thing that's helped me the most is not just listening to my music, but listening to my teammates, you know, and being able to take constructive criticism. Now, mm-hmm. I tell this to people, and I mean it in the best way. Take everything that you get that they give you. Mm-hmm. If they're like, you're doing really good, now try it this way to see if it helps. Take it. They're not putting you down. They're telling you this to make you better and to better the team.
And it's hard, so oh, yeah, it depends how you get that. Like, so if you get some critique, and it's said to you like this, hey, I was watching you, and I noticed that you're having problems with your plow stops. Would you like to work on your plow stops-ish? And you say, yeah, and that's awesome, and everybody's happy, right? Thumbs up. That's a perfect way to get critique. All right, but that's not how critique's always given.
Yeah, no.
And sometimes it's given like this. Oh, my God, can you please stop back-blocking me?
Yep.
Okay, that's still critique, and it's not given because the person's hates you. It's because they're reacting to something they feel like is a pattern that you've been doing.
Right.
And maybe they're not saying it the nicest way, but they're trying to, they are giving you feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to take it in and let it go, or take it in and get hurt from it.
Yeah.
And if you get hurt from it, you're not going to learn from it.
No, and I, you know, I've seen that with newbie skaters and even vets.
You know, I've seen it with vets a lot. It gets harder with vets, I think.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to call out names or anything like that, but I've seen a specific skater go from taking feedback really well, doing mm-hmm. awesome, and then they transitioned
mm-hmm.
and have started, you know, being played a lot more, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're an all-star now, and now no matter what you tell them,
They're pissed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they feel like it's a judgment, and you're like, no, I just want you to be the best teammate you can be. So it's, you really should take as much feedback as you possibly can. It's hard sometimes, and our coach Uncle Paul points out, ref putting you in the box is feedback, and you'd rather not get that feedback during a game.
Mm-hmm.
You would rather get it from your teammates or the coach or an observer at practice, so you don't go to the box at games. So it's really important to be open to feedback. And you know, if there's a bitchy person on your team who's got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
I've gotten butthurt. I'm not going to lie.
Everybody gets butthurt.
Everybody gets
butthurt. But there is always that one that's probably a little snippy for no reason and kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, even she's got decent feedback. It's just, how do I take it? You know, do I want to get my feelings hurt? Or do I want to sit there and be like, you know what? She might have a point.
Yeah.
I may have to take a couple days to take that feedback in because she's being a bitch right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to just completely discount it right away, but it's true. It's how you take feedback is how you're going to improve yourself.
That's probably why I talk to the bootleggers a little different than I would an all-star.
Absolutely.
An all-star, we have a little bit more thicker skin.
Yep.
The boots are getting there, but, you know, they're still learning, and I don't want to deprement their growth.
Yeah, you don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And you want them to come to you for feedback. So
plus, they like me because I'm fun. So
you are fun. All right, next question. If you wear contacts, and I know you wear contacts because you wear different kinds.
Yeah.
If you wear contacts, do your eyes dry out to the point you can't really see and it feels like your contacts are going to fall out of your eyeballs when you're trying to skate your 27-5? I realize this is crazy specific, but it happened to me and I gotta find a remedy. Not sure if I should invest in a helmet with a visor or sports goggles. Can you sympathize with me, or am I just a dry eyeball weirdo?
Well, actually, I had to change my cleaning solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I use a very strong one. It has peroxide. Q mm-hmm. hates it. I understand.
No, I like it. That was Bite that had a problem.
That was Bite. Okay, yeah. So my little yeah. Rainbow Bite, God bless her heart, fucking love her. She's going to do awesome. But she, you know, does not like using the peroxide. I do, because it really, really cleans the contacts well.
And the reason they get dried is because they get a buildup on them.
Correct.
So they get you get a protein buildup from your eyeballs.
Also, what I do is, because I don't like wearing my contacts all day, I still do, like, I don't wear them, you know, really outside of derby that often. But I do have a special contact eye drop solution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, just like contact, like eye drops for your eyes, but they're made for contacts. Because if you use a regular saline-based solution,
mm-hmm.
it will actually mess up and dry out your eyes faster because of the contact itself. You get the kind that has a little bit more lubricant in it for contacts, much better. Shouldn't dry out your eyes. But also, if you need to, go talk to your obstetrician. That might help you also.
Yeah.
What is that?
Your optician, because obstetrician is the person for the babies.
Okay, sorry. Unless you want another baby. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, no, your eyeball doctor. We'll just do eyeball doctor.
I've skated. It depends. It depends. We have a non-climate controlled practice space. So we are at the element, you know, the mercy of the elements. So if it's very cold and dry, my yeah. eyes have dried out from doing the 27 and 5. That's when we usually do it because it's yeah. right at the beginning of the year.
Oh God,
and it does dry out. Sometimes I wear my visor and that can help because it cuts down on the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I just know that it's going to be a dry situation. I bring extra solution. I keep my eyes a little bit more closed than I would normally.
Oh, so I thought you were just squinting. Just yeah. Like, just normal
just
squint.
Just be mean.
Just mean mugging there.
No. I do it because I'm not going to hit anybody, so it's not like I need to have, like, all this peripheral vision. So I will mm-hmm. close my eyes a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, it's great. Now, we've been in 2 venues recently that were dry as
oh,
a bone.
God.
And everybody that was skating, including the people in the tournament that we're in, were like, we thought it was just because we're from a very humid area.
No, everybody died.
Everybody was like, it is so dry in here.
My contacts did.
Yes.
So also that could be a thing is...
Where you're skating. It can dry them out pretty quickly.
That's my godmom, Judy Spiro.
Oh, nice. So, you know, it's just something, just be careful, just pay attention to it. It's like some people get dry mouth when they're doing their 27 and 5, and that makes them really, it's a miserable experience. I always say, think of what a lemon tastes when you're skating, because it actually makes you salivate a little bit more.
Mm.
Having your mouth guard in will actually help you with that, because it makes your mouth, like, salivate more, and you don't get the dry mouth as much.
They also have sports spray now.
Yep.
That, I'm not gonna lie, that worked wonders when I first started. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have it too bad, but... That or get yourself a green Sour Patch Kit. If you want your mouth to just be completely worst experience, I hate you for that one. I only eat the blue ones now, but yep. It literally made my mouth completely just spit heaven.
All right, so next question. Hey, y'all, going on my first tournament weekend this weekend. So exciting. I was just wondering what y'all use to keep your energy up for multiple bouts. We have 3, and I haven't played more than 1 a weekend. Suggestions.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're going to say your crack juice.
Crack juice.
So terrifying.
That's pre-workout. They have them at different levels. My team is notorious for using something called C4.
I don't use it.
She doesn't.
Nope. I don't touch any of that stuff.
You know, me as a jammer, it helps a little bit when it comes mm-hmm. to recovery. But also, and I know this sounds weird, but after a game, drink a cup of chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
It actually will help you recover a lot faster than, like, the muscle memory and muscle recovery shakes and stuff out there. Also, hydrate. Hydrate, for the love of God.
Especially if you're doing a tournament where you're going to be playing in more than one game and you haven't played in more than one game, you need to rest, relax, and stretch. That's one of the things that you need to do desperately. I'll tell you what, I forget to stretch. Like, after a game, I'm, like, getting my gear off and trying to get the hell out the door.
You see me, I'm gone.
Yeah, and so I have to remind myself to stretch because it's not something I do normally.
Mm.
And so we need to remind ourselves you need to stretch and take care of your body.
It's light stretching.
And it should be light stretching because you're going to be probably gearing up and... 12 hours to go out and play again.
Oh, and air out your gear.
Yes,
I know it's going to be horrible, especially if you do it inside your hotel room. Get the Notorious spray.
Yep.
All right, I was not a believer until I got some. It works wonderful, and you know what? The mint, that mint smell, mm-hmm. really helps you sleep. Like, it's really calming and relaxing.
It's much better than the derby stink.
Oh,
yeah.
God, especially, I mean, we had all of our gear open. We had 3 derby girl and our poor coach, and he handled it really well. I'll say that.
Well, he said that the Notorious spray helped a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny because I was like, he's like, it smells okay in here. I'm like, your nose is probably just fried from me spraying this stuff everywhere. Because it was bad. Okay. And I've been in where we've been in hotel rooms where it's been like four of us or five of us and our gear is bad. So, yeah, air your stuff out because you don't want to get mildew and MRSA and all sorts of crazy stuff on your gear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The other thing I think you definitely need to eat, and you need to eat well.
Crap food.
Right. I mean, you can have some crap food, but you need to balance it with like food that is going to power you. Sustain you, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't sit there and eat myself like a side salad and expect myself to be able to perform.
Right.
Try to balance it out. Have a decent amount of carbs because you know you're going to be burning them off because you're going to give up everything you have on that track.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know your body. Know what you need. Know that before I play a game, I don't need to go out drinking till 11 o'clock at night if my game is at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea. Unless you're a functional alcoholic, and I'm not saying that to be funny.
Yeah,
like, no. You need to drink a couple, three drinks a day or something like that. I say lay off the alcohol, especially if you're going to a tournament, because especially if you're going to something like we've been through where it was dry as a bone.
Or any inhibitors.
Yeah, anything that you want to do that's going to dry you out or make you laugh, you know, your muscle and your brain not work as well.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Don't do that before a tournament. It's just, unless you're one of these people that cannot make it through the day without it.
Now, right after the game, go for it. You go all out. You can
plane. If you want to have a hangover and punch, one of the best pictures I've ever taken of Punch is after an after party where she got in at like 4 in the morning had to leave at 9. And she is just, like, sitting there, like,
That was the best picture ever. That was after our first tournament.
Yep, it was. Yep. And she took the after party to a whole nother level.
She won it.
Yep, she won the after party. That was great.
That was fun.
But, you know, I'm glad she did it after.
Yeah. She knew her limit.
Yes, and that's important, is to really know what makes you feel good. You know, is it sleep? Is it good food? Is it solid food? Is it quiet time? I mean, people get ready for tournaments and games in different ways, and when you're right on top of each other, especially if you're like in hotel rooms with people, or you know, your nerves start getting a little, like,
you get a little antsy,
you get pissed off at somebody because they're breathing funny, you're like, oh my god, I gotta get away from you. You know, you just need to make time for yourself somewhere.
Oh yeah. God, yeah. I think that's why we also match up our rooms the way we do. Because some people can hang out longer than others.
Yep. I have no hangout time at all. I'm like, it was funny. After the game in Ohio, people came in the room and it was like midnight and we had just gotten back from the after party.
Yeah, you sent them to my room.
I was like, go somewhere else.
Yeah, thank you. You sent the drunk party to my room.
I was like, they're like, hey, Q, we're gonna drink in here. I'm like, no, you're not. Nope. Q is sleeping.
You want to tell the world what your team's called?
Oh, my team is Team No Fun, and I am the reigning captain of Team No Fun. Always will be. My room is always Team No Fun room. Like, keep that shenanigans outside of my room. I'm fine with that. Like, you can sleep in the room, but no shenanigans.
That's it.
All right. One more question. Hey guys, I'm minimum skills cleared in scrimmage, but I'm really struggling to find my place in derby. I'm short, like less than 5 feet short. And I'm starting to think that I'm too short for the sport. I'm not agile enough to be a good jammer, and my hits and blocks don't do much. It's not from lack of working on it, as I don't miss training. I am taking additional skating lessons. I work on my fitness daily, as well as other off-skate stuff. Can someone this small ever be a good derby player?
Oh my god, Dot Bomber on our team laid a massive hit when we were up in... was Michigan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, massive hit. Like... even the team that we were playing against, their own crowd was just like, clearing for her.
And this girl was much bigger.
Oh, huge.
And she just... Dot is under 5 feet.
Yeah.
And she was in the middle of an apex jump, this girl, and Dot just took her out.
Yeah.
And put her on her face. And I was just like...
And a lot of walls, I think, that... like, Dot jams also. And I think a lot of walls, you know, don't think, you know, that she's a threat. But she is. Because, I hate to say it, it's harder to hit... as a blocker,
illegal blocking
it's
zone.
Harder to hit illegal blocking zone, and you can use that to your advantage, hands down.
Also, she can just use her height to disappear.
You don't see her. Next thing you know, she's already through the pack and lead jammer. And I'm like,
There are plenty of short people in this derby world that are amazing. If you look at Tampa, I think the tallest girl in Tampa is 5'7".
Yeah, what's the fun team? You're on the Glamazons.
I'm on the Glamazons. It's the short bus.
Short bus.
The short bus. So there's a bunch of short bus, and usually they kick the butt of the Glamazons at ECDX because mm-hmm. that's where all the jammers are on the short bus.
Yeah.
So it's like, God damn it, we have no jammers over here.
So yeah, if you ever want to ask questions, definitely look up Dot Bomb or look up Ava Gore on our team.
Little Mama Montreal. Yeah. She was tiny and she was freaking killing people. I'm telling you, look up Tampa. I call them the Lollipop Guild. They are tiny.
Yeah.
But they are fierce.
God, yeah, they are.
So don't ever think, you know, there's room for everyone. People are like, well, I don't know, you're kind of tall. I don't know if you're going to make it a roller derby. It's like, oh, you're kind of big. I don't know if you're going to make it. Oh, you're kind of small.
No,
there's always someone that's going to tell you that you're the wrong size. So, you know what? Prove them wrong.
Yeah, most definitely.
I definitely think. Just tell them, you know, I'll do my own thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you made it through and wasted another hour listening to Q's Tips. The Tonight Show is brought to you by Krista Young, and she skates for Rogue Roller Girls, mm-hmm. and they're so excited. They just played in their first WFTDA-sanctioned games in a tournament, and they ended up sweeping their WFTDA-recognized D3 tournament this weekend. And they are going to be putting on a clinic. They're going to have a clinic with Smarty Pants and Jackie Daniels are coming in, and so it's super exciting. And if you're interested in attending this clinic, please try to email training@FayettevilleRollerDerby.com. Mm-hmm. They will have more information. I know they're looking for teams to come in and get the specific training.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be really fun. I know that we're trying to get a ragtag group of people. We can't take our team because we're in the middle of derby break, so we can't force people to go.
I would be interested in checking it
out. Yeah, so we're definitely going to look into that. And I think it'll be really exciting.
Oh, yeah. Also, a quick shout-out to my friend Gigi and Sean. They are actually putting together a comic book, y'all, dealing with some roller derby girls. So the more that progresses, I'll start putting some stuff up on my page and linking them. So who knows? Might have some more roller derby fun.
That would be amazing. I love, there's one comic book that I've already gotten from them. And of course, the Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, I read it and I was like, that's not how you play roller derby, Harley Quinn. I don't care what you do. Right?
But it's so awesome.
But it's
so
exciting that they have a comic book out that's, you know, Harley Quinn. Because she's one of my favorites. And I'm also sponsored by DerbySupply.net, which is now Skate Our House or HouseOfSkate.net. They're changing mm-hmm. their name and their okay. branding. So you'll be seeing a couple of us. I know that 40 Ounce is one of the sponsored skaters. So you'll see us at ECDX rocking some of our, you know, HouseOfSkate.net stuff.
Cough, cough. If you need another one, you know, I will gladly put my name in submission.
Anyway, I hope you had a great night. And thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.